Hey guys, welcome back to the Penthouse 5 podcast, episode number 17. This episode is a little bit different. We're going to do an interview with a good friend of mine, musician and singer, Carlos Coriano. He's a freelance musician over in the United States, and I've known him for a few years now, but I wanted to get a conversation with him and really get his point of view of being a freelance musician, and hopefully that provides value for you guys. Hopefully you can take something away from our conversation. Anyway, without further ado, enjoy the episode and let me know in the comments what you think, if this is a good idea to get some interviews going. But yeah, without further ado, here's the episode. Enjoy, guys. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you? Good to finally
I know, man. Hey. It's been so long.
Yeah. I know. We should do more of this. I don't know why we haven't done it before.
Yeah, man. Damn, when was the last time? Because I worked with you on a cruise ship, didn't I? What was the name of the cruise ship?
I think it was the Emerald.
That's the one, the Emerald. Yeah, was that 2016? End of 2016? Start of 2017?
With years.
Yeah. Something like that. It was something like that.
Yeah.
A few years ago in Australia, right? Yeah. New Zealand.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, I know it wasn't the first one because I did two contracts. And I met you on the second one, when I remember.
Yeah. Did you do any more after that?
No, because I remember we chatted afterwards, and I was just kind of like, I'm trying to trying not to get stuck with doing that. And I can't remember where you went afterwards.
Oh, yeah. But I went on another one, my last one, which was the Mediterranean. It was like 5 months, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my last one. That was... Yeah, man.
I remember because whatever year that George Michael died was when we were on the ship together. Because I remember we were eating at Horizon Court. We were eating, and then we were like talking about it.
Yeah.
And I just remember having that conversation because you were like, "Yeah, like what songs do you like?" I was like, "Oh, I like these songs."
Shit, and I remember that. I completely forgot.
Because he died at, like, what was it, like either on Christmas or the day after Christmas?
Yeah.
We found that really shocking because he had that song Last Christmas. the very next day you gave it away. Like, man,
I remember that. Oh my days.
It's so unfortunate. He's such a great songwriter. Oh, man. But I think he's a very underrated songwriter, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh man, he's got so many tunes that like just I love. And you just forget about him as well, you know? He's completely forgetting.
Yeah, no,
like, all bangers, man. But yeah. So what are you up to like these days then? I know we've been chatting and stuff, but what kind of stuff are you doing now?
Wait, are you recording now?
Yeah, I'm recording now.
You didn't tell me you were recording.
I'm recording from the start, bro. I'm always ready.
Crap, man.
We can start again if you want. It's up to you. You want to start again?
Yeah, I just didn't know. I thought you were going to like be like, okay.
Nah, man. I'm just freestyling. Now. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know.
I haven't kept up. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't think I've been able to keep up with yours. My iTunes. You're not on iTunes, right? Or is it on iTunes?
Yeah.
On YouTube.
No, so I do it on YouTube and I do it on a platform called Anchor, where you can upload it and they distribute it to everywhere, like iTunes, Spotify, and stuff. I don't know. I was like, I tried to do one for the band, right? For my band that I run. And then like I was doing it with my keyboard player and stuff and we kind of like flaked off it a bit and I was like, oh, let me do it again, let me start it properly, let me do a separate one and call it something different. And then again we flaked off on that and then this year I'm just like, nah, I want to do it properly, I want to like get proper into it. So yeah, I just decided to do it for the band, like under the band's name type thing, just as another thing, you know, because all the social media and stuff, like you got Instagram, Facebook, YouTube anyway. And I try to make content for that anyway for the band, and it's like I might as well just do a podcast, even though it might not be specifically about my band. I'll just join it to it anyway, sort of thing, you know.
Right. Make it one entity.
Yeah. Because you know, it's I guess with social media, it's about just having like almost like an octopus. I think of it, you know, like each kind of like tentacles.
An accurate analogy.
Yeah, you know, like just it's a different way for someone to come and find you. You know, someone might just stumble across your podcast or something like that, or Facebook or Instagram or something, and then, you know, they find, you know, the real thing that you want them to find, which is, in my case, the band and stuff, you know?
So, right.
Yeah, but that's just the way I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, that's so true about, like, about having, like, all these platforms where you're just trying to, like, have your face out there, you know?
Yeah.
But, I was asking about iTunes because for whatever reason, I guess my disk is full on my laptop, so I can't update the like my like new podcast episodes. So even you, if I was, I don't think, I didn't know if yours was on iTunes, but even if it was, that's why I was saying I haven't been able to keep up some of them because I haven't been able to update new episodes.
I need to delete some shit, man. Get my podcast on there.
Yeah. So it's not on iTunes. It's not on iTunes.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. Yeah. The band one, Penthouse 5 Band. If you just search that, it should be on iTunes, Spotify, all the main ones, because they, as I said, they distribute it to all of them. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll definitely download it after. Yeah,
that's a good. You can download this one, bro. Listen to yourself.
This is gonna be my shameless plug when I go back. When I make my Facebook status.
Absolutely, man. So yeah, what kind of stuff are you up to then nowadays?
Man, so I mean, the recent thing is, I was telling you about that, is which I didn't know that these existed. I know they were out there, so it's crazy. This company, they're called Spirit Productions, Spirit Shows,
right?
They do award winning production shows. It's essentially to what you see on like ships, but they do them on land in the US, which I think is great because that kind of work, I think, is rare. I mean, there is a lot of it out there and I'm just not aware of it. And I'm not really, it's kind of my first time stepping into that side of it. But I think there's a lot of like theater, you know, the singing, dancing and acting.
I don't
think there's a lot of just singing and dancing. And if it is, it's kind of like either like a tribute act or maybe an event band that is heavy with the choreography or, so I'm not too familiar with the production show market, but what's crazy is I had written to this particular company, I want to say last year, because I had found out that they had a show. I'd come across their website and I love the, like, they do all these really interesting, captivating like shows. Like they have an Elton John one.
Oh, sick.
They have a Bee Gees one. They had a Michael Jackson one, which is the one I was like, man, this would be great to be a part of.
Yeah.
And I remember writing to them. I was like, hey, I just introduced myself. I sent them my EPK. I was like, I really love what you guys are doing. I think this is a company I could see myself growing with. If you're ever on the lookout for, you know, male vocal talent, you know, or something along the lines of that.
Yeah.
And I remember I didn't hear anything. I mean, clearly, you know, you just, sometimes you don't, so even if you have a really great email and really great content and, you know, obviously some credibility behind you, just sometimes it just, you just don't hear back from them. So, turnaround, I want to say December of last year, there's this Facebook group, for the singers that live in LA. It's kind of like a job board. Like different opportunities that get posted. And there was one in particular, they said they were that, this guy was like, oh, I'm looking for my friend is looking for a male, Latin singer for a show of his, just reach out. So I kind of just reached out because sometimes like I like to send and just see if they bite or like what it is. So I reached out and then it turns out it's that production company. And I was like, crap.
Yeah.
So I remember, what was it that happened? I hadn't heard back from them. And there was something else that was asked that I'll tell you about later. They were asking about my availability. And I was like, I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. It's kind of like you're being considered for something, but then you have something that's already paying you and it's like, okay, like that's kind of a good thing, because then you can be like, hey, I'm being considered. I already have something. I'm being asked if I'm available for this gig. However, if you guys offer me the position, I'd be willing to turn that down.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you look more desirable.
Yeah.
And, 100%. Know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So then I said that, and surprisingly, I wasn't sure that was going to work. And I feel like that's kind of like a good technique people could use if they want to find out if someone is going to say yes or no. Because sometimes you go on an audition and it's like, sometimes you either don't hear back, or you will hear back, or you will hear back and it just doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So they got back to me, and they're like, I got on a phone call with the music director. He just asked me some questions, and then we negotiated my contract. And then, that's the most recent thing. So I fly out next Monday. We fly out to South Carolina.
Oh, nice.
In Myrtle Beach. Yeah, I've never been before, so it'll be interesting. But I remember I wasn't sure, because again, I wasn't familiar with that kind of like the production show world. So I had asked, I saw that the production coordinator was mutual friends with this other person that I was involved with the project with. And I just got on the phone. I was like, hey, like, what's your experience working with this company? He's like, oh yeah. Like, you know, he had a vivid memory, but enough to tell me that, you know, they're a good company to work with. And then I talked to someone else, and they told me they were a good company. Cause I wasn't too sure, just because it was going to be like a month just to find out, you know? I'm trying to remember. So basically they're flying me out to South Carolina with the other singers. And then we basically it's going to be like an all day thing. Like, you know, you learn your vocals in like the first part of the day, and then your choreography the second part of the day.
Right.
And that's going to be like, I guess, like a 10-day rehearsal run. And then they fly us to Canada, and then we'll be there in Niagara Falls for like 6 days, and we're just gonna do the show like for a good like 6 days. Yeah.
Damn.
So I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of we'll see, you know.
Yeah,
you never know what. I mean, they sent me I asked for if they had video of it, and I've been able to familiarize myself. The music, I'm not too concerned about.
Right. What kind of music is it?
Say what?
What kind of music is it?
It's all Latin music.
It's
Mark Anthony, Ricky Martin, Enrique.
Yeah.
Just very. Yeah.
Cool, man.
So.
And they got like a live band as well, and how many singers is it?
Yeah, so it's like it is a live band, and from my understanding, it's me. I want to say another male singer and two females.
Okay, yeah. So really like the ships then, because they had like the four production singers.
Yeah, from what I saw in the video.
Yeah, man.
So, and there's a crazy live band too, so.
Oh, man.
It should be fun. I was watching the video last night. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. I'm interested in what songs I'm going to be doing, because each song has like a certain position in the show with what they're doing and stuff, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that's incredible, man. Like, to get that kind of opportunity as well on land, like, you know, that's why a lot of musicians go away, especially like the singers and stuff. It's because, you know, it's really hard to get those kind of jobs and stuff. And it's like, you know, if you get it on a cruise ship, it's like, I mean, how many nights did they work? Like 3 or something? Like like a week?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. Like, I remember I wasn't considering doing that. Like, I mean, obviously when I did the Emerald and you were there, I was like, okay, this is my last contract. I don't think this is something I keep doing, because it's so easy to get stuck in.
100%, you know? 100%, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's so true. That's why, I mean, I that's why I said, I was like, I wasn't too familiar with that part, like the production show world. I don't know. Maybe it's a whole, like, there's a whole landscape for that, and I'm just unaware of it. But my understanding was, I only thought that it existed on cruise ships, you know, like doing that kind of work.
Yeah.
I mean, you have like, like even Thriller Live, the London show, that's not theater. You're not acting. It's strictly singing and dancing.
Yeah.
You know, But I don't, even on, even in the States, I mean, I think there is, again, maybe I'm just like not, it's a different circle. You know, it's like the people who work in the event bands, maybe don't talk to the people who do that. Yeah. Maybe they only talk to, you know, I was looking at the other singers who are going to be on that, this production show we're doing. And one of them, I guess, was like a touring vocalist for like Fifth Harmony. Mm. Like she, oh, wow. like when, or either is or was. I just looked her up on Facebook. And then the other guy, I didn't really know of, but it's kind of like, I was like, oh, like those names, like I've never, like when you get involved in like a certain niche, you sort of become familiar, like, oh yeah, they do this thing, they do this thing. Yeah, even there's like some people that I've never met, but I'm like, oh yeah. They're like they work in like the event band circuit, mm-hmm. But point being, there's some people you just don't come in contact with, so you don't know that world as much, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so true. Not to go on. Sorry if you want to come in. I'll come in.
It's a good man. It's good to hear.
I know I'm talking too much, but yeah, it's definitely doing this sort of thing on land, it's cool. I want to do more of it, you know, obviously, because a lot of the cool, at least a lot of the cool work that's like consistent, it's either like international or like in a position, like either on ships or like a hotel, like it's those are like I want to say maybe there's other stuff that I'm not thinking of, but to where you're being like, you're doing day to day to day to day.
Yeah.
I mean, even this is going to be 7 dates, but then after it finishes, I mean, then I'm back to where I started. I'm going to have to find out what I'm going back to.
I mean, yeah, but like when you've done it, I mean, you'll get the experience for one to learn if you want to pursue something more like that, I guess. Or, you know, there's a whole like load of things you might learn from it that you don't know right now. Also, if you get well with like the cast and stuff and they go onto different projects, I mean, I guess it's like networking in a sense, isn't it? Like you're going to work with other people and then they might go on to other things. You might, you know, be called from those guys because they've worked with you before and stuff like that. It's just like getting your name out there. I guess the production company as well, like, you know, if they do anything and you work well with them, like they might call you back for something else as well. Like, I don't know. There's like a load of opportunities that might come from it, you know, but I guess, you know, you just got to go out there and do it rather than be sat at home and like, you know, just like,
no,
you know,
definitely
thinking about it.
Go ahead.
No, that was it.
No, yeah, absolutely. I always say that like you're always like auditioning, right? Like,
oh yeah.
Even it's a crazy thing. Even when anywhere you're going to where you're singing and you're playing or you're just in front of other people who do what you do, you're auditioning. You know, like, when I meet these other people, they're going to have a story in their head of who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, kind of gives you a little anxiety, but you're like, it reminds you like, all right, got to be on top of my game. Mm. Just, you know, got to, what do they say? Failing to prepare. If you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, man.
But, yeah. No, it's a big thing. So I'm definitely with you on that.
Yeah.
It's I was trying to think of something like that. This one project I was involved with, I didn't talk to him. I didn't talk to this guy. I don't see him a lot because that particular band just doesn't get that much work.
Mm-hmm.
But because
the Bruno Mars
I was
one.
Involved with it. What was it?
Is that the Bruno Mars one? I remember you doing
something. This one in particular is it was a Bee Gees act, tribute act actually. Mm-hmm. And it was me and two other guys in this Bee Gees act under the umbrella of this entertainment agency.
Sure. Yeah.
And that particular act hasn't worked a ton. I mean, we've probably only done, I want to say like 2-3 gigs just because it's not a prior. I mean, maybe it is a priority for the person who runs the company, but it just hasn't gotten that much work.
Yeah.
The promo, he hasn't invested the promo into it either. So, but because I worked on that with him, I was able to write him and be like, hey, I saw your mutual friends with the production coordinator for this company that I might work with. Can we just hop on the phone and just talk about it?
Nice, man. You know?
So I feel like that's always super helpful.
Oh, 100%. And that's again, coming back to the more people you work with, the more contacts you build up. You never know who's a mutual friend or of someone you're trying to meet, isn't it? Like, it just works really well then. But how did you find personally? Like, I mean, I'm not sure because I did like 5 years from the cruise ships, right? And I think how many contracts did you did, like a few as well, like two or three?
Wow, yeah, 5 years, that's nuts.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask you how it was different for me, but how you transitioned from being from the ships. Maybe you got out early, you know, like how you transitioned for me.
I remember I did four months, and then we had 3 weeks off, and then they sent us to Princess headquarters to learn a show for the Emerald, and then another 4 months.
So eight months
collectively, but split up.
But
you're asking how I transitioned, like what do you mean?
Yeah, because I think like for me and a lot of people it's when you do such a long stint on the ships and you get into that routine that you were talking about, you know, you just you get used to what it is, you know, you go away for 6 months or 4 months and then you come home for a little bit and then you go away again. And when you keep doing that over and over again and then you decide to go home, you're going back to zero. Do you know what I mean? Like
I completely understand and I completely experienced that too.
I think everyone has, man.
Yeah, I mean, well, what's interesting is that particular band that I worked with on Under Princess, they actually worked a lot throughout Southern California, but they acted as an agency. So it means like,
right.
I remember I was their keyboard player and their secondary singer.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, your work is only limited to how much you get called for. Mm. You know, like I wasn't the first on call. And then, you know, I remember after I finished, I was kind of like, well, I think I've kind of done my time here. I kind of want to move on to different things because it gets very mechanical. And that's something I'll bring up is I remember I met when I first moved to LA to go to college at MI. I was fortunate enough to meet Kevin Hastings, who he's just a monster keyboard player. He was like, he was one of the first keyboard players who toured with Rihanna when she kind of started building up.
Nice.
And he's like, he's played for Miguel, like a bunch of other artists. And one thing he told me was when he started playing with Rihanna, he said that he sort of lost fulfillment in his playing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, because it became so mechanical. He's like, I love it. I play for like thousands of people every night. The energy is amazing.
Yeah.
But artistically and creative, or he said like creatively and musically, it just got very mechanical for him. And it was like, you know, it's crazy because I was like, oh, afterwards, he still did a lot of other tours.
Mm.
But going back after I remember after I finished, I was like, I kind of feel like I've did my time. I feel like I kind of want to move on to other
things. Done your prison sentence on the ships.
You're on
bail.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it feels like. I remember I was asked when I came back, I guess you want to call it manager agent. She was kind of like, hey, we're interested to know if you'd like to do more work. And I was like, well, I remember at that time I desperately wanted to be like one of the main singers. And at that time, I remember that band or that agency in particular, I want to say they had two to three that they shuffle through that are their main. I want to say at least two.
Mm.
And there was no room for me to grow to that. So I was like, well, I can't negotiate my desire, your desire for me. Like if I'm having to negotiate that, that means you don't really want me.
Yeah.
Or at least it's not, you know, then if I'm having to work to get, then it's just going to be too much. Like, you already like using who you like to use, which is fine because they've been there longer than me.
Mm-hmm.
But for what I want to achieve, I want, I'm going to have to kind of move on to other avenues.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was probably not the smartest move, because at the, I didn't work for a long ass time.
Mm.
And I probably could have used, I probably could have, like, I would have had work, but I don't think I would have been happy.
Yeah.
Because I would be playing keys and it's very mechanical. And,
time's going by and you're not moving any closer to where you want to be. You're just like almost stagnant, you know, you're staying in the same place, even though it might be another 6 months, like you say, of just earning some money and playing music, but it's still, you're still not, I mean, you just stood still, you know, in your kind of career.
Yeah. You're totally speaking my mind right now. But that was, so I remember after I came back, I was living in San Diego, and I remember, I remember what happened. So my entire time on the Emeralds, so when I got back from the Sapphire, which was the ship before the Emeralds, I bought a GoPro, and my mindset was, all right, I'm going to get footage of me singing as many songs as possible from the second contract. I'm going to put that together in a reel. When I get back, then I'm going to start hitting people up.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of backfired on me, because the footage I was using, I was kind of naive in the sense, because I thought, like, I didn't know it worked with the people who were like music directors, band leaders, or owned event companies. And I reached out to a lot of people, and I feel like I got blacklisted because the footage wasn't good.
Okay.
One, the footage wasn't good, and I think two, my singing just wasn't that great at the time, which I was kind of naive to because I just turned 21 or something.
Yeah, but plus like the audio as well from GoPros, from my experience, I mean, it's not great, you know, like from any kind of, from most cameras, the audio quality is never the best. So it's all a learning experience, man. You know, like I've done the GoPro thing as well, and I was like, okay, I'm not using this shit.
It sucks though, because I'm convinced I've literally blacklisted myself from some companies. They're just like, nope, we don't want this guy. You know, but I remember even outside of the quality, I feel like maybe my singing wasn't as confident as I thought it was. Looking back, but. I digress. So I remember I was reaching out. I remember I was on like an email binge. I was sending like literally 10 emails a day, just reaching out to people.
Yeah.
Or like a good amount. And I remember there was one agency in particular that did international work, and they were interested in me. And then it was kind of like a close but no cigar. It was like, I got an email back, and the owner was like, oh yeah, one of the agents loves your work and wants to help you get wants to help take your show like around, you know, the world. And I was like, oh shit. And then it was like I followed up, and it's just it was just like a close but no cigar. No quiet. So the next project that comes along is this boy band that I got involved with. So basically I remember I auditioned for this boy band, and the premise of it was there was a talent buyer who worked for he was the entertainment director for a venue in San Diego, and he wanted to put together, I guess, almost like a production show of five guys in a boy band performing the hits of the boy bands from the 90s and early 2000s. Obviously, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, LFO,
Classics,
98 Degrees, all those guys, you know? So I remember I went to the audition, and it was set up so professionally. I remember there was a, like, they had two guys who were like the vocal, vocal coordinators, basically delegating the harmonies for each of us to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was a choreographer, and we ended up finding out he's toured with Destiny's Child, and he has credibility as a choreographer.
Good CV, yeah.
So I remember I did that audition, and I remember it was at a bad time because when I got back from the Emeralds, my dad was dying of cancer.
Oh shit! So
I remember I was back home because I was on the ship when I found out. And I was back in Arizona, and I was kind of just like staying with my dad, you know, here for him. And then I remember I would kind of go back to San Diego, like for either, it was either audition stuff or, you know, just if there was anything that looked promising.
Yeah.
So I remember, I did that audition, and then I end up finding out that I get the opportunity. So the entertainment director tells me we started rehearsing for this production show. And this entertainment director was like, oh, I own a boutique agency, which he did. He's like, and, you know, we can start, I already have a guaranteed like 2 gigs a night at the venue I am the entertainment director for. So once we get the show going, then we can start, you know, working it out. So I remember the rehearsals were intense. We would rehearse with the choreographer, I want to say at least twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would meet at the entertainment director's house once the same week to go through like the vocal parts.
Yeah.
And then every 2 weeks we would go to LA. We would go to LA to work with the vocal coordinators for like to work out harmonies and stuff. And so I remember we would do these I show up to rehearsal, and it was kind of like the guys were using rehearsal to practice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It was like, big mistake.
They weren't showing up to rehearsal to rehearse.
Yeah.
Man, and they're like, what is it? So literally it was just like, I was like, wow. And I actually have videos of this, like I'll have to send to you. It was like we'd show up to rehearsal and get the guys, they just, you know, they'd use rehearsal to practice. And here I was, the mindset I had was like, okay, I'm not getting paid for this, but it's good for me to have this ability to learn how to pick up choreography in a setting, because I never had 100%. Before. I kind of myself. So I remember we had two dance rehearsals a week, one rehearsal of vocals. And keep in mind, we weren't getting paid at all. You know, it's just mind bending. I look back at it now, I'm like, man.
Everyone's been there, man. Everyone's done that shit.
Yeah.
We're all fucked up.
But so here, go on. So I remember. So then. This boy band production show just slowly starts falling apart. I remember the youngest guy in the group, this really talented black guy, he ends up dropping out. And then I remember one of the guys lived in Long Beach. Remember, we were rehearsing in San Diego. So he was having a commute from Long Beach to San Diego and then back to Long Beach just for rehearsal. And this guy, amazing singer. He's been on American Idol, just amazing singer, but terrible work ethic. Just would show up and was just kind of like, what do we do? Like, he's a super cool guy. He's super cool to hang out with. But it was just not a good situation. So eventually, to make a long story even longer, it starts slowly falling apart to the point to where it's just me and two other guys. And what's weird is the entertainment director was like, well, you guys have already learned so much. We can do a gig with just the three of you guys, or we can get two other guys. And I was like, oh, well, then how do we know what their work ethic is going to be? You know, you're going to get two other guys, you know, like we're kind of starting over. Yeah, and you learn, it's kind of difficult to find guys who can sing and dance. Sing and dance.
Sure.
Be able to, know. And so I remember I remember I kind of like it kind of got put on hold, and then he was the entertainment director was like, he had a gig booked for us, and then he asked me. And keep in mind, in this time I was living in San Diego, I didn't have a car, so I was either carpooling with one of the guys or I was Ubering to these rehearsals.
Yeah,
it was a lot, you know. I was just ridiculous amount of spending. So he was like, he wanted me to rehearse. It came down to me and another guy, so it went from 3 to 2. So he got 3 new guys to join in, and he was like, "Hey, I want. We're gonna do rehearsal for this gig coming up." And he said, and I told him, I was like, "Hey, I'm not gonna be able to make rehearsal because it's gonna cost too much of an Uber for me to get there," and you know, so. And I was like, "Can you still have it provided me like a contract?" Because I told him, I was like, "If we're gonna do a show, if we're gonna do it with 2 new people, I was like, I want to at least be guaranteed that I'm gonna get paid, because it doesn't make sense for me to keep rehearsing if it's not guaranteed. Like, how do I know you're not gonna pull out?"
Yeah.
So he basically, I get a text the next day, and he cuts me out of the group because I didn't go to that one rehearsal.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I told all the guys the story, the guys that left, and they were just like, "Wow."
Yeah.
Like anyone in the band would tell you, I was like one of the hardest working in there. You know, I would always show up, just knew the choreography, knew everyone's parts on the songs, because I'm passionate about it, and I just like being prepared. So I was like, "Wow, like, man," you know. And then what's crazy is, check this out. I get a DM on Instagram, and basically there's a boy band production show on the East Coast that's interested in me, the same exact thing. And I was like, "What?" And I was interning for a woman in LA at the time, and I told her about it. She's like, "Wait, who runs it?" And I told her, and she's like, "Oh, Roger? I used to date that guy." I was like, "What?" So, and this woman I was interning for used to date this guy who runs this boy band production show.
Damn.
That was interested in having me on the East Coast. So I learned, I ended up finding out about this guy. He has a production show. Basically, everything I was training for, he has the same thing on the East Coast, but it's actually up and running. Like, they're actually doing gigs.
Yeah, man.
So it's crazy how... So he hits me up. He's like, "Hey, we're looking for, like, you know, a couple male singers because, you know, it's for our show, and we already got stuff up and going." He wanted me to relocate to Chicago,
right,
for this opportunity. And I had such a bitter taste in my mouth from everything that had just happened.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, I was like, "Man," you know, he was kind of like pushy. He was like, "Well, what would it take? What would it take to bring you out here?" I was like, "Man, I just, you know," he's like, "You know, I already have something up and running." And then I was like, "Yeah, but, you know, to relocate to Chicago and the money wasn't all that great either for what it costs to live in Chicago." But I know, had I probably had my negotiating skills a little bit stronger, maybe I could have gotten something. So I ended up turning that down, and I was back in Arizona. And I remember what was it that happened next? I remember I did actually a production show type of thing with this company in Arizona. That it would have had potential for more. I don't know what happened, but I remember I did a show with them. It went well, and then I didn't do more stuff with them, mainly because they already had their people to use. I can't remember the sequence of events that happened after that. But that was literally what happened after I got back home, you know, the Emerald. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? You know, like all the. Yeah, that, I mean, that's what I found the hardest part, was coming from 5 years of all that, you know, same, like, you know, contract after contract, music, getting paid, traveling and all that, and then just coming back and you're back at zero. And like you just explained, like all the stuff you've got to now try and build up, and yeah, and sometimes it's stuff that just like goes nowhere. Sometimes it's good stuff, whatever, you know. But yeah, man, it's fucking difficult, man, being a musician and being back home, like being in located on land, you know. Like you've really got to. It takes a lot of work, man. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, especially like you said, building coming back at zero, that's what I hate, you know. Like I remember,
that's why people stay, man, on the ships. That's why people stay.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and I remember I had some footage from the Emerald that I got, because do you remember Arnie the piano entertainer?
Yes. Yeah come on Facebook. Yeah. Still I still see him posting New York and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't kept up with him, but super cool guy.
I love that guy. Awesome.
I remember when I was on the Emeralds, I was him and his partner were just really kind to me. But I remember I would come sing at his piano and he recorded for me. And he's like, yo, like you need to go solo, like, you know, you need to do this thing, you're gonna make more money. And it's weird because I remember I used that footage, I put it into a reel, and then I was considering like the whole like dueling pianos thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember I went to the Piano Summit in New York, and that's kind of like a get together for all the piano duelers around the world and the piano session people and all that stuff. And I remember I showcased, and I remember the feedback I got. I was sitting next to this guy because we got free tickets to go see Billy Joel. And this guy was like he ran one of the companies for like dueling pianists, and he was like, yeah, you have like a really unique sound, but I don't see you doing this. He's like, I see you doing something better. He's like, the problem with dueling pianos is like people who get into it, they don't, if they have other, like, you know, if they're looking to be an artist and or if they're trying to just do this, you know, as a side thing, the money becomes so addicting that they don't really get out of it.
Yeah.
And yes, it's the trust. I know that. Yeah. It's and coming back from the ships, you're starting at zero, and you know, you're having to, you don't get that comfort of like performing every day, you know. And I remember there was, just to add another thing, I remember there was another company that was interested, that I interviewed with for a hotel gig. I would have let me work with them as a singer, but I would have had to commit to a year, which is meaning like I'd be circuiting around different hotels. But you know, it would be a year. It's like, man, another year, and then it's like, how much are you really taking away after taxes? It's a lot, you know.
Yeah, 100%. You need to learn when to say yes and when to say no, for the right things, you know. Like the Chicago thing you said, it was possibly the best thing to do was to say no to that because of the expenses of relocating. I mean, I don't know if you know anyone in Chicago or not, but like, there's a lot that goes with like moving your whole life to a different place where you might not know anyone, you know. But so you live in LA right now, don't you?
Yeah, so right now I'm actually back in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a long story. I came back for the holiday, and then I was gonna go back, but when I found out about this, I was like, well, I'll just stay here, and then I'll fly out, then I'll go back.
Yeah.
But I've been in Arizona. I mean, I tell people I'm in LA, which is kind of off the record, because it's been more convenient. I can kind of stay here, and then when I need to be in LA, I can be in LA.
Yeah.
But this year I plan on actually moving back up, but with the whole AB5 law that's coming out, it's kind of like,
so what is that?
Shit, the one year I'm going to move back, and this is coming into effect, you know?
Yeah. What's the AB law?
So basically, it's kind of, it's shaking everyone in the who's a professional musician in LA or in California, basically it's cutting independent contractors off. So basically it's saying, from my understanding, and you know, if I have this wrong, you know, feel free to correct me. For those who know about the law, basically it states that, in a nutshell, let's say I'm hiring you for a gig at a bar, $100. I have to treat you like an employee.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I can't do a 1099 for you. I have to do a W-2, which means in order for you to get paid $100, I'm going to either have to take out $20 and put it aside for taxes, which makes the $100 value come down to 80,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to pay $100 and then I'm going to have to like penny pinch and have $20 aside. And that's just for you.
Yeah,
one gig.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, everyone in LA uses like 50,000 people for 50 different things.
Yeah.
50,000 different people do 50,000 different things.
Mm.
So it's kind of, it's making a lot of people nervous, because I remember I was watching an interview. I guess some composer needed musicians for a score for a film, and it was going to be too much because of the AB5 law. So he just went to Florida and he got people to do it there. So they're trying to get an exemption to it. But if not, they're saying that it's going to crash and then everyone's going to just move to either Nashville, New York, or
Yeah, that's it's tricky, isn't it, when things change, man, and like stuff just, you know, you have to figure a way around it, whether that be moving or, I don't know, something else. There's always shit coming up in there. This spanner in the works, I guess you call it, you know, causing trouble. But anyway, what do you reckon to like your experience in LA? Like, what do you think to like relocating or moving somewhere to, I don't know, try and get more work? I mean, do you think like that's the best thing to do if you're back at home or back on land as a working musician and you're trying to find work? Is it best to, are there certain areas where like big cities that are better for like most of the work, or can you still get like a, like, you know, good majority of work living wherever?
I think it all depends on what you want to do. I always hear, like, as far as like a singer is concerned, it's interesting because a lot of people come to LA who sing for sessions.
Right.
Like, you know, and I've never been into that. My vocal coach, he's considered one of the top session singers in LA. That's probably why we were so close, because I don't do sessions, but like he's done tons of films and commercials and you know, live performances, but the thing is like nowadays, how do I describe it, it's not as popular as it used to. Like, he, in the 90s and back, you know, being a session singer was like a big thing. That's how he describes it to me. He's like, you know, all you'd have to do is know like five people, and then you'd do tons of jobs with them and you'd be good for a month.
Yeah.
But what's happening with sessions is all the major studios, and this is kind of new recently, I'm sorry, I digress. For anytime there's a session, like let's say like they're doing like a commercial or they're doing a song in The Simpsons, and they need singers for a session, the studio is going to partner with like what's called a vocal contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So that vocal contractor is going to be like, they're going to be like, hey, we need singers for, you know, The Simpsons, whatever. And he's like, can you get us singers? The vocal contractor be like, sure, I'll get you singers. So the vocal contractor will get paid the fee for getting the singers and then for himself. So what's happening now is because that's how it used to work. Now what's happening is for just the singers, for like, let's say like a Star Wars movie, they need an orchestra, and they're like, all right, for John Williams needs, you know, an orchestra, and he also needs singers. Mm-hmm. They used to have one person who would get the orchestra and one person who would get vocal contractor who would get the singers.
Mm.
Now it's sort of turning into a monopoly where the person who's getting the orchestra is like, oh, well, if you're coming to me for the orchestra, why don't you go to what you don't have to go to the vocal contractor to get singers. You can just come to me and I'll get the singers.
Mm.
So what is that doing? That's cutting out all the vocal contractors who are getting those singers,
mm.
and it's limiting the singers who are coming into that kind of work.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, and even like with sessions on as a singer, again, I'll go into the musician side. It's, I mean, with everything that's in software, not a lot of, they're not having singers coming in to do backgrounds. They're just doing them in Melodyne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just, it's a dying. Yeah. I think it's a dying thing. I mean, people still do it, but I think there's this kind of falsifying thing. Like people who come to LA, like, oh, I want to come to LA for sessions. Like, I don't think it's as big.
Do you think that people like that are maybe naive to this kind of stuff and they're coming to LA because they see what the past or what is painted as, you know, like what they perceive it as? They come and it's been updated with all this stuff that you're saying. They have no clue. And then, you know, there's, you know, it's just not the same as what they thought it was because they just don't know. You know, they're not in the scene at that point.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. True. That's the one thing I would have wished I'd known about LA is is to understand the market you're trying to get into, you know, and what the work is like there.
Yeah.
And going back to you know, I'm trying to think on the musician side. I can't really say because I don't do it as much. But as far as moving to LA, I mean, I don't think right now is the best time just with what's going on. Hopefully the law changes, but there's definitely a hierarchy, you know, which I hate, you know, but it's just the way the city works.
Yeah.
And it's all about, you know, we've all heard it before. It's about your connections and who you know and who knows you, and your resume and all that stuff. Sorry, let me just gather my thought.
That's all right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who move to LA, they move to LA with, you know, that dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you want to be strategic about it. Like, knowing what jam sessions to go to, knowing what, organizations you can join. There's a big thing in LA, there's this thing called Jam Card, which you could probably look into it. Have you heard of Jam Card?
I'm not sure. I might have seen it on Instagram. Maybe it's something different, but I've seen something like some jam thing.
So it's basically like a Facebook app, but it's only for like the top tier musicians. Mm. So only the people who have like played with Miley Cyrus and you know, Prince and all these guys. Yeah, yeah. And
it's like a massive WhatsApp group chat for all the best musicians.
Then it's like, oh, it's like this like community, so you know, they can hire each other.
They know the level of each other, don't they? If they play for Miley Cyrus and I've played with Michael Jackson or whatever, I know the level.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard your name around the circuit, so I can trust it, sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think all this stems from just there's a lot of people who come to LA that aren't legit. And I think as humans, we have predatory instincts to protect ourselves. And that's something I've noticed recently is like people always imagine the worst situations of things because we don't want to get hurt or harmed. So it's 100%. Like kind of like because it just takes one bad apple to ruin it for all the good apples.
Yeah.
So, you know, I sometimes remind myself like, oh, yeah, people don't know me like I know myself. And even though I'm confident myself, I have to remind myself, what story do they have in me of me in their head?
Yeah.
Because everyone's always assuming the worst. That's why, you know, so I think the whole hierarchy thing comes from is because there's a lot of people who kind of pose as maybe good musicians. And, you know, I see it all the time. I hear, you know, people are like not good at learning, at least with singers, at least like singers are notorious for not being good at learning lyrics.
Like, and that's just, I think that's a world thing. We that's see it over the, I think it's a worldwide thing. Yeah, we see it over here, man.
You know, it's just, which amazes me.
Yeah.
Because I made a joke at a rehearsal. I was like, because I had gotten this other gig. I don't know where that's going. But they were like, oh, yeah. Because I remember I showed up at the audition with lyric sheets.
Yeah.
Because the songs I had to learn were in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish.
Sure. Yeah.
So I told them, I was like, hey, do you mind if I use, you know, my lyric sheets for this audition? And she was like, she's kind of like got like sassy about it. She's like, yeah, but just letting you know, like you won't be able to use it if you get the gig or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, I just want to use it as a reference. Went through audition and I wasn't glued to the lyric sheet. I just had it as a reference.
Yeah.
And
then
she was like, oh yeah, like I'm impressed. She told me, I was like, I just don't like that a lot of singers, they just, you know, I was like, you know, it's amazing to me how there's so many waiters in LA and they have to memorize an entire menu.
Yeah.
But singers can't memorize lyrics, you know? You know? It's like...
Yeah, man. 100%. It's 100% true. I don't know what it is. You know, my take on that is with the waiter situation or example you used, I mean, that position, that person has a job, right? They're getting paid to do something in that moment. If they don't do what they're meant to do, they don't get paid, they don't have a job, they get fired, whatever. So, like, you know, and it's just expected that you must learn the menu. If you don't, someone else is just going to fill your shoes, easy peasy, like, and they'll learn the menu. And, you know, so you're easily replaced. Where a singer who comes to an audition, they're not getting paid at that point. Maybe it is something they want to do or whatever the example is. But I think yes, it's just maybe not on the priority list because there's no, I don't want to say punishment, but like there's no, you know what I mean? Like if you don't learn the menu in the restaurant, you're probably going to get fired. If you don't learn the lyrics off the paper, I mean, you know, what you don't get a job that you don't already have.
And,
you know, like.
Well, yeah, and that's a big thing. I mean, and I know I've learned over working with different bands too, because there will be a band where they hit me up for a gig and I'll learn all the lyrics and then I won't get work from them for maybe like 5 months. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm working on other stuff. I have to go relearn these songs that I haven't done in how long.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing about LA is like, you don't know how much work you're going to get from a band unless you know they work a lot and you know you're going to be their first call.
Yeah. Have you got into like the wedding circuit at all, like function bands and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, back when I came back from the ships, I feel like I blacklisted myself, like, because I'd sent bad video and so my singing wasn't as good.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you mentioned that, my thought was, I don't think, I mean, I think you'd be surprised at how much those kind of companies are, like, you know, people remember. I mean, I don't think just from a bad video, like, if it's like a year ago or 2 years ago, for example, like, I contacted a hotel abroad to get a gig for my band, and there was like, you know, communication. It was too late to get that gig for, it was like New Year's Eve or something like that. And then a year later, I had much better promo with much better audio, like all that sort of stuff. And I contacted him again directly because before I had like gone through some, you know, other emails, other contacts to get his email. Anyway, I hit him up directly with this better promo with better stuff a year later or more. And he just completely didn't recognize the band or remember me at all. And then he was like, yeah, love the band. Like, how did you get my email? I was like, you know, I wasn't honest. I was going to say, I was just, oh, yeah, someone gave it to me, you know, whatever. But, you know, so I think you can hit up different companies, whatever, with a promo, or it might not be that great, whatever. But then I think you can go back to them because they're probably dealing with so many different singers, musicians, whatever.
Yeah, that's, you know? That's true. I mean, there was last year, I want to say it was a good year for that. Like, I did three promo, well, let me see. I did three promo videos for three different bands. All of that, which did the same thing, like the wedding and corporate events. One which still hasn't been released, and the second that didn't really go anywhere. The first one was really great. And I remember I was sitting next to the music director for the one I was in the video for, and he was going through his email, and he was listening to a female singer who submitted her video, and he just didn't even listen to the whole thing. he's like, nope, pre-recorded. And I was just like, dang, it's so fascinating to see the other side, you know?
I was thinking
back to the video I sent him. Literally, dude, it was on like my GoPro in like empty room with me dressed in like black dress shirt, a black vest, tie, and dress pants.
Yeah.
Just like I had a microphone, it wasn't even plugged in. I'm just singing to a karaoke track.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it when you start.
And he thought my video was good, which I was surprised. Like,
nice.
Literally just made in like an empty room. It was so funny. But it's crazy seeing that type. But going back to the wedding band thing, there's two companies, three, but that one doesn't work that much that I'm involved with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same sort of thing, which I kind of don't like. It's like they have a roster of singers, and
is that an agency? Sorry, or is that like just one band and they have multiple like singers on call?
I think that it's a little both. They kind of like the way they say it is they say that. They act as an agency, so when they're selling the band, they're selling the people in that band.
Sure.
But I don't know how much of that. I always wonder how much of that is true, because I'm like, well, at the end of the day, I feel like you do have power to hire. You have power to bring me in if you wanted to. But like for one of the bands that works a lot, I'm just not. And I think a part of it is like my age, which I don't like. I'm 20, I'll be 25 in April, but compared to like all the other singers who are working, I'm like a baby.
Yeah.
Like people see me as a baby just cause I'm a very young guy.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing, man. It's weird. That will work. The older you get, that will work like all the time like that. You know, you'll get to 30 and they'll be like, you need to be 24. it's 24, one day. Yeah. You know, it's always like that, man. It's always like that.
Yeah, that's what I always joke about too. But even the video I did last year, like the reason I got in it was like, she was like, yeah, I get asked if I have any younger people. So, you know, I want you to be in it. And I was like, great. But I probably only did literally only three gigs with them that year. And the only reason I got the third one was because I did this first one with them and they had people who were coming to see the band to potentially hire them. And they really liked watching me. So they wanted me to be the one at their wedding, you know?
Yeah.
But, it's a whole like roster thing, seniority,
Oh man, cool. Oh man, is there anything else you want to talk about? How long have we been going now? Hour. That's pretty good. Probably my longest podcast episode so far.
How long are they usually?
They're normally about half an hour because I normally film them on my good camera. And it's because it's like DSLR mirrorless cameras, they only have like 30 minute recording limit at one time. So after 29 minutes, 50 something seconds, it just cuts off. So kind of cuts it off there. But yeah, man. Guess we'll leave it at that. That was pretty good. We need to do one more. Oh, we need to do more of this because it's good
to pick
your brain and just chat about shit. You know,
it's good fun. I love it. It's cool. My first podcast. So yeah, man. Cool.
Just for the video and that, and for the people that are listening. What's your, like, are you on Instagram or your, like, music or Facebook or like social media? Just like drop them in and I'll put a tag
Facebook.
In them.
I mean, I need to get on Instagram, but just
Carlos, you're not on Instagram, Quinn. Bro. You're not on Instagram.
I know.
How are you gonna do? You're a musician, man.
I know. Like, what happened was I had an Instagram, and then I like cleaned it out,
okay.
And I was like, right, I need
start
to go
again.
Back up, and I've just been really bad with pictures.
Fair.
Yeah, that's a goal for this year.
Yeah, man, get on it. Yeah. So what's your Facebook? Have you got YouTube or anything like that?
Yeah, my Facebook, just Carlos Coriano.
There you go.
C-O-R-I-A-N-O. Yeah.
There you go. Cool, man.
Anyone wants to add me? No one will.
No, man. It's all good. Sweet. I just want to know what I can tag you in. I can tag you on Facebook, of course, because I'm friends with you.
Yeah. You have me. That's the best way. I always say that's the best way to talk to me is Facebook or text, or at least Facebook if people live in other places, you know.
Yeah. That's cool, man. All right, man. Well, I'll let you go. Thank you for your time. I appreciate your time a lot. I appreciate
that. We need to talk more. I like doing this. I enjoy talking to you too.
Yeah, man. That's good, man. It's so good to just talk to other musicians. Like, you know, if it weren't for this, then, you know, I wouldn't be able to pick your brain and get your knowledge. Because it's so good to see, you know, someone else's perspective from, you know, the same industry, really.
Definitely. But how's stuff going with you? So you say you're going to start another... You started a Motown band and another band.
Yeah, so my plan this year, basically a couple of years ago, there's a university in London called the City of London University, right? And they have in their music department, they have like technology students who are looking to learn how to mix and master all the studio stuff. And basically like 2 years ago, they wanted a band to come in and to record the bands individually, like bass, guitar, keys, all that sort of stuff. I saw the advert up and they were like, you know, we can either pay you, but the money wasn't that great. Like, you know, it would just cover expenses probably just to go in, record my bass for this track and, you know, then I go home. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Like the experience is good, but, you know, it's just generic recording experience, which is great, but, you know. But the alternative they offered... was where you can do the term, so you only come in once a week for one term, but each individual musician would come in, and then a couple of months later, after the term's ended in Easter, you can come in basically for like 4 to 5 days during the week when the studio is completely free. You can use it completely free, and the money would have cost to hire that place, plus they have a performance room which is absolutely amazing. Like really, really nice, like wooden floors, wooden like walls and shit. Looks great. And I was like, that's like a no brainer, man. Like, you know, you do something for free for them to help them, and then you get the studio, which would cost you so much money, and you can have an opportunity to use it, you know? So yeah, so I'm waffling on a bit, but yeah, we've had that for 2 years now. This is our third year doing it. They emailed me at the start of the year and said, like, you know, do you still want to do that this year? And I was like, 100%, like, and then I just had to think of like what I wanted to use it for, and it was really like I just want to create a few different acts under like my band's name, because like the main band I run at the moment, it has like a bit of a niche. It's like very current pop, 90s throwbacks, R&B, soul, that kind of stuff, dance music, garage music. So like there's particular people that love it, but I think the biggest, talking to some agencies over here, the biggest style of music that most people want in like weddings and corporate events is like a lot of rock, indie music, and then there's just other sections as well. So I was like, you know, I still want to play music I love to play, rather than just playing indie music for the sake of getting more gigs, you know, because there's a million bands out there doing that shit already. So I don't need to be another band if I don't, you know, there's other bands that are going to do it better because they enjoy it and it's their music, where I would just be doing it to try and get more work. And you, as you said earlier with the cruise ship thing, it's just like, you know, it's not like getting you to where you want to get to, you know?
So
that's pretty much it, man, for like just creating like a soul sort of Motown five piece band with a phenomenal singer, female singer. So that should be good.
Right.
If it pulls off like how I want it to, it'll be good, you know. And it'll just be another project, and my musicians that I work with, you know, it'll just be more work for us, hopefully. Maybe some different gigs, and we're putting some other little things together, like a jazz trio, like instrumental trio, just for some other gigs as well. But it's all stuff that, you know, we all care about, music we want to play, rather than doing stuff like, you know, just for the money. That's pretty much it.
The whole Motown thing, I've noticed that in LA, like I saw one band, they're trying to, it's like a big thing, especially with, because the people who are doing these corporate events are older people. They want to hear that Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder,
It's true. It's true, man. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a point where you think about it where the that generation's gone, you know, and our generation, our generation who grew up with completely different music, is gonna be the oldest generation. And like, you know, if we're doing, do you know what I mean, like when it eventually comes around, you know, like what's that music gonna be like, you know, pop music at that time will be different, and then there'll be probably loads of other styles of music coming out as well, like niches and stuff. And then our generation, which will be the oldest one, like 50 60 70 year old, it's gonna be, the music's gonna be different probably that we want to listen to, you know, like
that's what I always said. I think it's gonna flip the industry on its head, because when we evolve into the people, or our age gap evolves into that, the taste is gonna be different,
yeah, you know? 100%.
So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. You know, I always say, I think a lot of the bands, especially in LA, it's like when I join them, I'm like, man, so many of them just do the same song catalog.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Which I get, because it's like, okay, you're a common, you know who the demographic is, you know it's gonna work with that audience.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're trying to like at least stay, I don't know, at least be, like differentiate yourself. Yeah,
that's exactly what my mindset was, and that's what I've heard from the clients that my bands played for. You know, there are so many bands with the same set list, because it's what used to work, what works still now probably as well, like a lot, but it's everyone has the generic same set list. So therefore, when people our age are getting married, they're like, well, this is not the music I want, maybe, you know, starting to get that way. And it will continue to change, like as we just said, like as everyone gets older, it's like, you know, the generations step into the next one, it's all gonna change. So what people want is probably gonna change as well.
Yeah,
you know, is what it is,
man. Yeah, it'll be interesting, man.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Just one last thing, see what your opinion is on it. You work with like agencies and different things like that, and I do as well, probably for different things, but like, what do you reckon to the future of like agencies and stuff? Because I think, you know, at the end of the day, an agency is a middleman, right? Like, you got the client, whatever it is, whether it be a wedding or, you know, a couple, or it could be like how you were saying before, a studio is trying to do something, like want an orchestra and want some singers, whatever it is, that's the client. And then you have the middleman, which is the agency, who has the contacts of that. But do you think we're like, do you reckon it will ever go to a way where, you know, the client can be direct with the you know, the person they're trying to hire, like the musicians, the band, you know? There's a few bands out there probably that already do that, but I think maybe with the internet and like, and if the people, musicians, can learn the right skills of how to market themselves, how to you know, create an actual business with their product, whatever it is, themselves as a product, all that kind of stuff, you know, like maybe, I don't know, if do you reckon the internet has a potential to cut some agencies out? Because if an agency does nothing but just be the middleman, you know, is there any point, you know?
Yeah.
In the future.
Absolutely. I absolutely see. Okay, so in LA, that's what's happening. Mm. What's happening is you have a lot of bands who aren't that are under an agency and they're not getting the amount of work they want. So this is what they're doing. They're taking their musicians and then they're making maybe two promo videos of a different band under the same umbrella of the same people, and then they're turning into an agency. And then it's just a matter of them building the contacts and all that. But that's, I've seen that as a trend, a big trend.
Because
bands who are under an agency, they're competing with the other bands.
They may not
be the highest priority. So what they're doing is they're just forming their own entertainment company or agency, however that process works, and then doing it that way. Like the one I'm with as a singer, that's how they started. They started as a band. And then what would happen was they started doing gigs, and then they'd get asked by clients like, oh, do you have like a Latin band? And then she'd be like, oh, you know, and so then she would just make a Latin band. And then, you know, but I definitely think that's where I see that that's what a lot of people are doing, at least in LA. But I think just the big thing comes down to like, you know, obviously it's just like having the clients who can do you know and do all that the work, because I mean it just becomes a additional task for whoever's facilitating.
You
have to do the negotiating and then your budgeting and you know, and that's just for, let's say, one gig, one band, and then you have other ones you're trying to do that for. But yeah, I definitely see I mean, it's happening already, because you know, even there was a tribute act agency that I interned for, and they used to tell me that they only worked with super groups, when I was like, what? And so I remember they had tons of people on their agency, but he was like, oh no, he's like, it only makes sense for us to work with these acts, because if we're going to take I forgot what their commission was, 20% commission, it makes more sense for us to take that from a band that's getting sold for a lot of money than for one that's just getting sold for less. I think that's gonna happen.
It's gonna be interesting, man. I think I thought that way for a while, that maybe something's gonna happen like that.
I mean for your band, that's literally what you could do. If you're gonna do a Motown thing, you just turn your band into like a either entertainment company, LLC, or agency, and then you have Motown, and then also Latin, and maybe like 80s. Like that's that's a big thing that's in LA.
Yeah, well, that's my plan, man. But you know, it is what it is, man. You know, you got to try and do what you do. And I think a lot of the situations, like the culture and, you know, things you're talking about earlier with the laws and stuff and things like that, I think it it all plays. Those musicians, even musicians, get filtered out because like things get too difficult and they don't know what to do, and then those things also filter out the other musicians who stick around, but they also like develop other things, like maybe they like do, I don't know, they just like adapt, you know, and they just I don't know, it's just, it's always a changing industry, isn't it? And I think you either flow one way and it's just like you change, you adapt, you find ways around, you do different things. Whatever it is, you know, I think that's another thing that happens. But
yeah, I know in LA too. I mean, that's one thing Mike vocal coach talks about, is like everyone does like 10 things. Like no one just does one thing.
Unless you're on a cruise ship.
You run a company, which is like, you know, like I know I have a friend, he sings for an entertainment company. The guy who runs it is his best friend, and he did the same thing. He had a band called the Stray Tones, and then he had like a, you know, a pop rock band, and then his Motown band, and his acoustic band formed under his company, and now like he's able to book different bands on different dates, and you know, that's how he makes his dough. I definitely think, especially for me in the future, it's something we all have to do. You know, if we're gonna, at least if we don't want to constantly be subscribing to working for someone else, even if it's work we love. Because, you know, there's a, you know, how they say like a millionaire has seven streams of income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as being a musician, you think about it, we were never really taught business, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's a big thing, is for us to, you know, learn business and then learn how we can form our own. So we're not constantly just waiting for a call,
yeah,
but we can be the one calling the people to do gigs for us, to play on our stuff.
Yeah. You know? 100% agree, man. 100% agree. Anyway, yeah. I'll leave it like that because I got to get to bed. It's late. Yeah. It's late here, bro. What's that?
What time is it?
Oh, it's like 10:30.
I mean, man, you know. That's early. That's nothing.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting up early. I'm like, you know, I like to get up early. I like to be active, you know. I'm like, it's a weekday. What day is it today? It's Thursday, yeah. I ain't gigging tonight, so, you know.
Yeah. That's good. I've been falling asleep like super late. So when I text you, I'm like, it'll be like 3-4 in the morning. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, no, it's all good, man. It's all good. Anyway, man, it's been wicked to chat to you. Good to see you again.
Yeah, man, let's do this soon.
100%.
We'll just go back and forth.
Yeah, and I would do this again for sure. It's been awesome. It's awesome. Right, bro. I'll speak to you soon, and I'll take you in the video when I upload it. Anyway, all right.
All right, man.
Peace out, bro. Take it easy.
Hey. All right, bro.